Hello, this is Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, Laraji.
How you doing?
Really great. How you doing?
Good.
Everything's good. Thanks for agreeing to chat with me today and for calling back.
Oh, no problem.
I saw a live feed earlier of the snowstorm we're having. It's coming from Times Square. It looked pretty snowy. What part of New York are you calling from?
Harlem.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it looks pretty up here.
Yeah, I bet it looks nice on the streets and on the buildings.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay? Everything's good sound-wise?
Yes,
okay.
I can. I might ask you to repeat something if I don't.
No problem. Yeah, so as we mentioned before, I prepared a few questions. Just, you know, I've been reading a lot of interviews online that you've given in the past, and just trying to come up with some new questions for you, because I figure you probably get bombarded by the same things, you know? Not that that's a bad thing, but yeah, I think you have a really interesting story, and it's, I think, you know, how you came about to make music, and do you care to shed any light about how you got into the type of music that you make, which as some have called it new age or ambient music? Is there maybe another term for it that you would call it?
I think celestial, the sort of word celestial, beautiful, inspirational, exploratory, experimental, and I think inspirational, celestially inspired music.
Yeah, I would agree. Celestial is a good word to put out there for it.
Celestial to me means a sense of time and space that's not bound by just one planet or by the Earth, but the field within which the celestial planets are unfolding. So it's a timeless, all-inclusive, spatial quality.
Yeah.
That I was impressed with doing meditations in the 1970s, and that gave me a sense of a bigger space and a larger sense of timelessness within which to bring forth music.
Your music does really have a timeless quality about it. Every time I listen to it, I mean, it feels like it could have been made at any time in, you know, in our history. It's unplaceable, and I think that's part of the charm of it, and probably why it's so revered and people keep going back to it, at least from my perspective. You've enjoyed a nice resurgence over the past few years. A lot of the newer labels have been re-releasing your older recordings from the 1970s and early 80s, and I'm sure that was, I don't know if it was a surprise to you, but maybe how did you feel when people started asking you about your old recordings?
I'd say I would use the word weird at a time.
Yeah.
In one sense, in another case, weird in that it's intuitive that I should have kept the available masters around for so long of tape copies, and with a sense that they were going to eventually be used again. And that when I produced these cassettes and home experimental music on not necessarily high-end recorders, I wasn't totally aware that one day they'd be released maybe 40 years later.
Yeah.
Audience that would appreciate them, and that probably could relate to the exploratory and maybe some of the innocence that went into it.
Yeah. What type were you recording it straight to audio cassette tape, like the standard tape,
Yeah,
or
something like a Panasonic or a Sony handheld.
oh wow.
Yeah, that was once
Yeah.
or at a unit, those home components where everything's together, tape deck, and
Oh wow. So would you
like that
just
once
put
in Florida.
yeah?
So whenever I got in the mood to create or to bring forth new music, just get the right tuning on the instrument and get a sense of what idea that I'm playing with at the time. It could be a tuning, it could be a sense of rhythm, it could be a meditative focus. Once I had this meditative focus of the ocean, imagining the oceans playing the zither, because I once heard that the oceans, the bodies of water of this planet, are the neutralizers of the energy of this planet. And the idea was that, wow, what if I could get the ocean
Yeah.
playing the zither? And during that period, I once went out to either Jones Beach or Reef Beach here in New York
Yeah.
with acoustic zither and just walked along the beach, interacting with the waves and the surf, with the sound of the zither, just to get a real sense of the
Yeah.
kinesthetic quality of the ocean. So the idea of bringing water energy into my music, and eventually thinking, well, what about space? What about fire? Or the five elements, bringing it into music because they have a
Yeah.
quality that we can all relate to on a primal level.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I think a lot of the music that I'm drawn to has that sort of watery, flowing feel. And that just when you say that being close to the ocean and water element, yeah, that makes sense. So would you just tune the your zither or your harp on the spot, whatever feeling you were getting? Is that kind of how you pull it together? I notice it's kind of like an open
Usually
tuning.
before, let's say that I have a gig, let's say I'm going to play a wedding or play for a yoga meditation
Yeah.
class. Usually I'm in the process of working with some tuning all the time. Could be an Asian tuning, could be a Western tuning, minor or major. And so I tune the same way you do make a painting.
Yeah.
You feel it way. And when I'm done with the tuning, which I've never done,
Yeah.
over a week or so while playing it, I'll get intuitive suggestion to change one of the strings. So eventually, over the course of maybe a week or a month, this tuning evolves and has a lot of inner passion or inner statement
Yeah.
or inner story that wants to release. So my job is to feel that story and coax it out through the instrument, electrified through effects, or sometimes through acoustic.
Yeah, I noticed in pictures, and I've watched some videos of your performances, and you're using a lot of effects pedals nowadays and running
Yes,
your acoustic instruments through it.
some of them pedals are very easy to tote around with me. Like there's a Tone Works, Chord Tone Works, which is a very pocketable multi-effects unit that I've adapted. Part of my motto in the early years of traveling is to make myself lightweight, compact, and portable,
I feel that, yeah.
pocketable. And there's a fine line, because when I travel with a lot of portable effects, I can do concerts that are well, but sometimes I'll run into a very high-end sound situation where the sound engineers, for some reason or another, they find a lot of hiss.
Yeah, that can
Yeah,
happen with
in the
pedals.
pedals that I use. Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get away with it. A lot of times I get away with it, but sometimes I'm not
Yeah.
in a very high-end
Ouch, yeah.
two pedals I can't get away with.
Yeah, sometimes it lends a nice quality to the watery or fiery, probably more fiery music, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds like a crackle of a fire. I used to have a Boss loop station pedal that I used to play around with, and it had that sort of hum or some sort of hiss. It used to drive me crazy, but you know, it becomes part of the quality, I guess.
Yes. And like there's one producer named Bill Laswell
Oh, yeah.
who invited me into his studio in New Jersey once to do a recording. And he insisted on I use the same pedals that I use to play on the sidewalk in New York with.
Oh.
And so his engineers adjusted equipment to sound as good as possible with me playing authentically the kind of pedals that I work with on the streets.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good, you know, because it's something you're already familiar with and it's easy to set up in any situation, probably, right?
Yes, and I developed sound pictures, sound stories around the effect that I
Yeah.
use. But that's some. I think some of my vocabulary is sound effects, not necessarily the pedals, but the way that I handle the instrument. I'll make notations of what that sound effect is, and the effects can become the themes in my music. The effects elicit certain emotional response.
Yeah.
And so there's times when my music is just a flowing ambient textural expression with themes that are just simple effects or a twist of notes or the shifting of the wave of the phase shifter up into a very high vibrato.
Yeah. I introduced a friend to your music last night. We were listening to it on the Day of Radiance release that you did
Yes.
in 1980, and with
That
Brian
was the
Eno.
most effect. Yes, that was
And that
very subtle effect.
subtle, yeah, especially in the first part, the first three pieces are very rhythmic, and you achieved that rhythm. And then the last two pieces are very, you know, they're called meditation, I believe, right? Or meditative. And it just really drifts out from the end of the album. And it's beautiful. But you, was that something, were you using pedals or was it looped? Because my friend was asking me that, if it was a
I
loop
didn't
or.
use pedals for that, but Brian, who produced it, did use some Eventide harmonizer, which is a high-end rack mount
Oh, okay.
effect to create the subtle harmonics in there.
Yeah.
That also, when I do like a major recording for a company or a producer, I try to take two zithers, one in a major tuning and one in a minor tuning. The major tuning for a bright, celebrative, danceable journey with sound on a zither, and the other zither I'll tune in a minor
Oh, okay.
mode, which is for the feminine, watery, meditative, contemplative
Okay, nice.
experience.
So you have sort of a yin and yang setup that you bring,
Exactly.
depending on the mood. Yeah, I
Yes.
like that. That's really smart. 'Cause you never know what the situation may be, right? You may be on tour or something, and different places
Right.
require a different setup or a different sound. So, well, that's really cool. And you, I read that you studied music at Howard University. Is that correct?
Yes, in Washington, D.C., in the early 1960s, music theory and composition and the piano. So that was my
Oh, okay.
musical
Yeah, so that was your
academic.
foundation. Did you find the academic college aspect of music, was it hard to be like get into an experimental mode, or had you sort of
I
found your
didn't
sound yet?
a lot of, well, the only extent of my experiment was when I went down into the piano rooms to practice. I spent a lot of time with experimental music at the piano when I should be doing my scales and arpeggios.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of experimental piano improvisation at that time. And the zither wasn't in my life at that time.
Piano was your main. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of music really inspires you to create the sounds that you create? Is there anything that you've been constantly coming back to over the years? Or I guess, what are your favorite artists?
What kind of sounds influence my music, do you think?
Yeah, or just specific artists. Do you listen to a lot of music other than your own? Or?
Yes. Well, I cannot leave out a mention to the impact of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation allows me to relax and feel, we went over this earlier, a bigger space than the three dimension, a longer time than just a week, the eternity. Allowed me to sense a feel that is right now quietly and peacefully embracing everything in the universe, indiscriminately. Just, and so these spiritual images, these spiritual sensations would well up during my spiritual work, whether it was reading metaphysical books or dropping into a pretty long stretch of meditation. And that would prepare my nervous system. So the nervous system that the artist prepares for themselves will determine the music that they're going to want to express.
Oh, okay.
A very jumpy nervous system would probably be into rock and jazz.
Yeah.
A very relaxed nervous system would find it easy to stay with a calm, floaty music.
Yeah.
So it's preparing a nervous system. And I would say that's one of the big influences of my music, to prepare my nervous system before performance, before recording, then slip into improvisation.
Yeah.
So improvisation is the outlet for this inner imagination work or emotional spiritual work.
That's great. It's good. Yeah.
Music that I've heard that might have influenced me. In college, I was introduced to a lot of classical music, and I found that European classical music, a lot of beautiful music there. A Hungarian women's choir touched me once. Javanese and Balinese gamelan music, like, turned my head around.
Yeah,
opened up
amazing sounds.
I observed in the beautiful music is another term I use. Beautiful music to me is music that has a psychoactive quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to this music and it can transform your sense of space and time. That's one thing I reached for in my music. After hearing a transcendental music during a meditation session in the 1970s, this music.
Were you studying?
Psychoactive or psychoacoustic.
Oh, okay.
That it, by listening to it.
Yeah.
Such a beatific hearing experience that it activated a deeper sense of what love is. Something about beauty and love is connected. When a beautiful piece of art or a beautiful experience can open the heart and feel love on a deeper level. So that's one of my directions with music is to bring forth music that sounds beautiful, beautiful tunings,
yeah,
a beautiful attitude, a beautiful sense of spirit accompanying the composition and the performance of the music.
Yeah, I love it. And I think we need that sentiment in music, especially in our times right now. There's so much turmoil. I mean, I don't want to get too much into politics, but, you know, it's heavy times, and we need a positive, like you said, beatific type music to carry us through these times. It's really crucial. And maybe that's why New Age and ambient and celestial, whatever we call it, this type of music is really coming back in a big way, especially with younger people. I've noticed a lot of new labels cropping up all the time.
We're thinking about your question,
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if one of the answers is that New Age music allows the listener to hang out in a sense of groundedness for a longer stretch. Like long drones, staying in the same key and exploring its non-shifting foundation.
Yeah.
To provide like a support for a sense of stability and continuity for the listener in an age where things are going very fast, moving very fast, even a lot of pop music changes very fast.
Yes.
Or go to a movie and or a television story. It seems like the idea that scenes should change every 6 seconds or 12 seconds. Quick shifting.
Yeah.
And I sense some of the New Age music quite a bit may provide the listener with a longer sense of present time in one place.
Yeah. As long as they're patient enough to sit with it, right?
I mean, yes.
A lot of people have a hard time, you know, sitting with a long composition or a long piece of music.
Well,
that doesn't change as much. Yeah, I don't know.
It could be called boring.
Yeah, I guess. But
not exciting. But that could
but I think
the balance to the you mentioned the over information overload.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
That
in
this
one
kind of music can reduce the sense of being entrapped in information overload.
Mm-hmm.
In yoga, the final posture in a typical hour and a half class, in some forms of yoga, this posture is called Shavasana, or the corpse pose.
Yeah.
Which is a pose where after an hour and a half of yoga, you're relaxed, you're not busy thinking, mental rhetoric has been reduced, and your breath is relaxed, and you're in a place of not thinking, meaning you're in a place of no information overload. And it's during the corpse pose, when I'm playing for a yoga class, that my music will shift to a very specific purpose, and that is to support someone who is not busy thinking, who is not overwhelmed by a flow of thought. And that's when sound vibration is more relevant than playing a melodic music. It's a sound vibration, a bath of sound, immersing in sound.
Do you perform during a lot of yoga classes? I noticed you do a lot of workshops for your yoga laughter and meditation.
More and more yoga, even on tour in Europe.
Really?
The booking company will
give
me a few yoga tours, which
nice.
I think is just marvelous.
Yeah.
I never imagined a booking company would be.
That's really great. I think it's a good venue for your music, and the people that are there are already in that mindset, like you said. So I think
it really makes
sense.
There's an expanding yoga community on the planet. Serious yoga and just those who are going to yoga just to see the health benefits.
Yeah.
But they're still being exposed to the opportunity to drop into deep relaxation. And those kind of listeners that are very ripe as an audience for New Age music or the meditative, contemplative, ambient music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It kind of brings me to another question I was thinking of. You're reaching, you're in your seventh decade now on this planet, right? And you present yourself in such a youthful appearance. Do you attribute that to the music you're making or the lifestyle that you lead or meditation?
I say a lifestyle of meditation, a lifestyle of listening to my body and listening to wisdom about how to stay healthy. And if I switch from a heavy meat diet to a vegetarian vegan diet in the 70s, and life felt a lot lighter, I went through a short tobacco period, and I came out the other end and just left tobacco alone. I dance a lot, which means that's my favorite form of exercise, and I walk a lot in New York.
Yeah.
Laugh a lot. Avoid complaining. There was something I did several times. It's called 7-Day Mental Diet by, I think, Emmett Fox. A little book that describes how to decide to, for 7 days, abstain from some one thing that you'd rather not do more of. And it could be anger, complaining, it could be worrying. And I found that one of those seven-day periods, I avoided complaining at all costs. Don't complain. And discover just how easily we can make the decision. And I found that reducing complaining and getting angry plays a lot in keeping a nice, balanced, emotional, healthy state.
Nice.
Getting a lot of rest and knowing how to relax. And having a lot of beautiful, laughing friends who hug.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I appreciate that. I appreciate your thoughts on it. Do you have any performances coming up soon or any workshops where people can come hang out and hear your music?
Yes. In New York, there's a laughter meditation on Saturday, March 11th at 11 p.m. at the Integral Yoga Institute, 227 West 13th Street, $27. May the 18th through the 21st, I will be in Durham, North Carolina at something called the Moog Fest. I and a dear friend who collaborates with me will be doing something called a sleep fest, playing for musical people sleeping, and also a laughter workshop.
Nice.
May the 28th, up in Nova Scotia, the Obey Convention. And June the 7th to the 11th at Southeast Spiritual Conference, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Right.
June 15th to the 18th, Dark Mofo Festival in Tasmania.
Wow, okay.
And June the 22nd, 23rd, the Terra Forma Festival in Milan, Italy.
Cool. So you're all over the place. That's great. Do you enjoy traveling with your music and your work?
Yes. It's work. It means staying attentive. It means being subjected to excessive checks when I'm going through security.
There's
too much baggage. But once I'm in the air and once I'm down and meeting new people and experimenting with trusting, you know.
Yeah.
Go to a place where you've never been, people you've never met. Just trust that transportation, accommodations are going to be there. So I like the idea of trusting and discovering that the trust works, especially a new age level of trust.
Yeah. I think it's
about not so much hardcore business, where the new age music kind of invites a new age kind of business attitude around it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think you're right. I think it's good, and it's all just the people that you surround yourself with, you know, and positivity. If people want to check out your music, what's the best outlet for that as far as websites or places to buy your music?
They can go to Amazon is one, and you can go on and listen
to tracks. Yeah,
but if you Google Larraji, LARAAJI, I've noticed there are quite a few sites available that will let you listen to the music before buying.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to preview it.
Pardon?
It's nice to be able to preview before you make a purchase.
Yes.
But
buy parts of the album instead of the whole album.
Yeah, it's nice for mixes. I do that for my radio show a lot.
And on Bandcamp, I put a few pieces more for the yoga meditation community.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a couple things up there. I use Bandcamp a lot. I think it's a good venue.
Well, I'm thinking about putting more things on there.
Yeah, I think you should. Definitely. A lot of people are into it, and especially knowing that a lot of the money goes directly to the artists, I think is really good. Hopefully the artists benefit more through that website. But yeah. Well, it's great. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, Larraji, but I really appreciate this conversation.
One question.
What was it?
you get wonderful questions. Like you said, you didn't want to go over the same material that I've used.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
There's one question you asked. There's one question you did. What kind of advice would I give to young musicians trying to make a living?
Yes. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah. I mean, I guess, what would you recommend?
Identify the music. Yeah, identify the kind of music you really feel passionate about, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoy it. And be sure that you're going to enjoy what it is you're going to make a living at.
Mm-hmm.
And, let some of your friends make comments about your music and just get to understand what it is about your music that turns people on. Have your friends tell you. I mean, people would tell me, gee, your music takes me away mm-hmm. to another dimension, gives me a break, or my headache disappeared by listening to your music. So getting a sense of what your music does for other people can help build up your self-esteem about, so you can feel great about bringing your music to a listening audience. So welcoming feedback, even feedback that sounds negative, it helps to hone your craft to serve more people. And one way to grow is to record yourself, let's say for a half an hour, and then listen back attentively to that recording, and then listen back in an ambient way while you're doing something like housework or driving. Just listen to it as background.
Yeah.
Then go back to your recording situation and record again and notice some subtle subconscious shifts in the way you approach the recording. That's a technique called meditation. It was advised for people who had tape recorders.
Mm-hmm.
People can do it on their PCs now, just to record an exploration for half an hour, 45 minutes, listen back attentively, and then listen back as background music.
Yeah.
And then go back to the record situation.
That makes sense. Just sort of see how it feels in the environment.
Yes.
I've heard people listening to their music in their own car, too, sometimes helps, because a lot of people listen to music in their cars, so they test it for those smaller speaker environments. I don't know. But I guess that doesn't, maybe for a New Yorker who, you know, most New Yorkers don't have cars or they're on foot most of the time.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them have good earphones.
Yeah, maybe test for headphones.
I feel as well have the Dr. Dre beat.
Yeah, I see that logo a lot, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how the sound quality is on those, but I do see them a lot. Yeah.
Okay, one more question you asked, which, since it was Black History Month.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you care to talk about
I was wondering. I wanted to ask you that just because, I mean, you're one of the few African-American artists working within ambient or New Age music, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And
I came this way. Sometimes I'm kind of curious of why there aren't many more artists in this field.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's my shift of diet and lifestyle shifted away from the mainstream Afro-American artist lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which means my music that doesn't...
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not carnivore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vegetarian, vegan, meditation... investigating metaphysics and the invisible side of my life and my identity.
Mm-hmm.
So these kinds of activities supported my bringing forth a kind of music that doesn't generally come out of a culture that's very much into soul food and a lifestyle that's more celebrative in another way.
Yeah. Okay, so it just didn't appeal to a wider mainstream, like a Black audience in that way, you think? I mean, I'd like to, hopefully it's changing. I've been hearing a lot of new music coming out by younger Black artists, and especially coming from Africa and a lot of expatriates who have made their way to London or to LA even. And there's sort of a new movement, I think, of atmospheric music happening. There's a specific label I'm thinking of is called Non. It's NON, and they've been putting out a lot of.
NON.
Yeah,
if that is one of the words in this type of music that's defined.
Really?
No, I'm asking.
Oh, is it
the word NON?
NON. I don't know if it's maybe it means something else, or if it stands for something, or an abbreviation. But I know I haven't done a ton of research on them, but I recently discovered it. And it's atmospheric music. It kind of aligns with some ambient feelings, I noticed. And there's a subtleness to it. And I'm hoping that that's a point in a new direction. Honestly, online, on Bandcamp. And a friend of mine does a show in Los Angeles, and he plays a lot of their music. He's one of my best friends. So we share music a lot. So he kind of tipped me off to some of the artists on that label, and he said, "You got to check it out, And it's an exciting time, I think, for new sounds and new explorations. So I hope that's, maybe things will change. More people will hear this type of music.
Your audience won't hear this interview until the 22nd of February?
Correct. I was thinking... Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to air the entire interview on the show. I haven't decided yet because I wanted to focus on playing a lot of your music in the first 2 hours.
Okay.
I may play it maybe in the third hour, but my idea was to turn it into a podcast so it's available online that people can download and listen to at any time.
Okay.
Because yes. WPCAN, we've been doing a lot of podcasts. We've been trying to do that more. And reach out to different listeners who maybe can't catch the live programs.
Yes.
And then I'll send you a link to it, once I get everything edited and put together, and you can share it.
Great, Justin.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're always welcome up here if you ever want to come to the beach. We got a really nice place called Seaside Park right across from the radio station here. We're on the campus of University of Bridgeport, and we've got a beautiful stretch of sandy beach. So if you want to come up and do some recording or something, or do some swimming.
Is there a recording facility up there?
Yeah, there are a few studios. I have friends that have recording studios, and we also, where I'm sitting right now, I'm in the production studio at WPKN. We have a facility here with a mixing board and everything, and there's definitely potential for recording here as well.
And how would that work? Just give me an idea. Would one make a plan and to record for a few hours? And what's the exchange, or how something like that work?
Honestly, I don't even know. I mean, I haven't done a ton of it. I've been doing my show for about 3 years, and I mostly just play recordings, of things that I've collected, and I haven't done so much live performance yet, but who knows, maybe that could be a direction to go. But, I do, like I said, I have some friends with studios here. Maybe I could talk with them if you're interested in coming up this way.
And, high-end professional studios?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How long of a train ride is it from Grand?
It's not far at all. I actually was just in New York last weekend, and it takes a little over an hour from Bridgeport downtown to Grand Central. I think it takes an hour and 20 minutes each way. It's a really nice
ride. Is that where you're
ride.
Near? You're near? Are you near Bridgeport?
We're right in Bridgeport. Yeah, the studio here is... it's at Seaside Park at the University of Bridgeport, but there's a train station right downtown Bridgeport within walking distance of the studio here. And so it's very accessible. And I don't know. We'll have to talk further about it if you ever find your way up or find yourself up here, or maybe on the way to like Providence or Boston. I don't know. I mean, maybe set up a tour or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it's a nice place up this way. Some beautiful landscapes.
Right.
But
Very
yeah.
Near the beach.
Near the beach. Yeah. Seaside Park. Yeah, I just, you know, just want to put that out there to you.
What's the name of that beach?
Seaside Park. And it was actually...
Is that Seaside, S-E-A?
S-E-A-S-I-D-E. Yeah, if you look it up, you can find some pictures online.
Okay.
And it was designed by Frederick Olmsted, who also did, you know, Central Park.
Yes,
so it was a big deal when Bridgeport was in its heyday, you know, back in the P.T. Barnum days, late 1800s, you know. But I'd like to think that the city is experiencing a little resurgence, you know, of artistic activity, and WPKN here definitely helps keep things here, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, you can always call or email me if you have questions, or if you're up this way, you know, get in touch.
Good.
Maybe we could set up a workshop too, you know. I mean, local, there's a lot of yoga studios around here and stuff, so that might be.
No, that's always interesting to do. Think of how to get the ball rolling for that. How would I do that?
We
could give me some yoga studio email address, and
absolutely.
I could send them a flyer or announcement.
Yeah, definitely.
Give them an idea.
I'll send you some links through the email of some local places that would be receptive to that, and you can reach out to them.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a town where people go for brunch on Sundays.
Yeah. Bridgeport, yeah.
Yeah.
There are some places to have brunch, definitely. But it's, you know, it's a very urban setting, too. I mean, it's the largest city in Connecticut, so it's a very diverse international place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the typical sort of New England idyllic setting, although we are surrounded by that, woods and rolling hills and whatnot. But, you know, it's still very urban, but yet we have the water here. It's a really interesting place.
Well, Justin, thank you for your professional time here.
No problem. Thank you, Laraji. It's been a really, really a pleasure to talk with you. And,
okay, and until soon.
We'll be in touch.
Good.
And I'll keep playing your music for the people. And
good, I like hearing that.
Most definitely.
Enjoy. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, well,
peace.
Peace. Have a great day. Enjoy the snowstorm. And we'll talk
Thank
again
so
soon. Thanks a lot, Laraji. Okay, take care.
Home.
Bye.